We need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I appreciate you, Daryl, and the songs that you've sung this evening. You know, I'm glad God doesn't change, because we change. We fickle folk. The least little thing get in our way, boy, and we ready to change. You know, I'm just thankful to be here and thankful to see all of you all have come out tonight, and I certainly hope that the things I say to you this evening will be an encouragement to you, or hopefully they will convict you to get right with God. That's what this is all about, is us being faithful and committed to God. I don't see any visitors, but if you are here, you're truly our honored guest. If you have any questions concerning the lessons that are being proclaimed today, please feel free just to ask me. And we will do our very best to give you a biblical answer to a biblical question. And again, church, I just thank you, and thank you for all the support that you've given me over the years. The title of the lesson this afternoon, this evening, is Devoured by the True. Our text comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we want to look starting at verse number 8, and then we'll get into our lesson. And the scriptures read, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the works of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 points of view I wish to share with you in this lesson this evening. We can devour the truth, and the truth will devour us if we are out to carry out the word of God in our lives. See, I want you to understand this evening, if we take the truth in us, sooner or later the truth will overwhelm us. That's what I mean by being devoured by it. You become an individual that has been saturated with this truth. Ezekiel points out this point in his teachings in the Old Testament. He says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1, he said, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll or scroll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to the people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them that would have hearkened unto thee. Here's Ezekiel saying that God is encouraging him to devour this scroll or roll. It is the word of God. And yet when we devour God's word, when we decide to feed ourselves on the word of God, then we become saturated with it. And our mission in life is to carry out God's most holy will. Go speak to the people. You know, in eating, it means that God wants this word in our hearts, in our minds. He wants us to digest it as nourishment, like meat and drink, that we can be capable men and women that carry out this great mission. Do we not understand that we have a mission? See, it is our job to warn people of the great coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you look at verse number 17 in that same chapter, the Bible says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me." See, God wants us to take this word and feed ourselves up on it. And soon as we begin to feed ourselves, I'm telling you, the truth will devour us. We will become fixed. We will stand fast on what we know the scriptures have to say concerning God's most holy will. And God's will is that we warn people of the oncoming danger. For truly, as we sit here today, Jesus will return. And God will not be accepting any excuses from us why we did not warn people about Jesus coming. Well, we need to understand that we have a mission here. God wants us to feed upon the word and in turn go and tell others about what we know concerning God's will and God's word. See, it's impossible for you to know if you don't eat it. It's impossible for you to know God's will and God's great love if you don't understand it. See, we have to be people that realize that God wants us to be in His Word, not just temporary, but God wants us to meditate upon that Word both day and night. You know, I often sit in a restaurant and I watch people. You know, I watch people. And I think it's good that we watch people simply because I often wonder why I may be sitting in a restaurant with hundreds, how many truly appreciate God for the food that He set before? How many of us think about the food that we're about to digest into our system? You know, you don't know what that food been through. You don't know what people have done to it. You don't know, but we who trust in God eat by faith. You see what I'm saying? If you hadn't read Romans chapter 14, then you don't know that. We need to understand that we eat by faith. And in turn, we are the people that warn people of the great coming of the Lord. Watch what the Bible says there in Ezekiel. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou give him not warning, nor speak warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquities. But his blood will I require." From who? We need to understand, if you don't know the consequences of not warning people, then God is looking at you. Why didn't you feed on my word? Why didn't you set an example for folks? Why you didn't tell them that, hey, if you don't stop that sinning, I'm going to come back and look for you. See, God wants us to understand that if we are not prepared to warn people, of the great coming of our Lord, then that means we are not been digesting the word. That's what it means, brothers and sisters. You've not been doing what you're supposed to do in order to help people understand that God's will must be done in our lives. So we must warn people. We must warn people. Even the Revelator said in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 9 through 11, he says, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me this little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Let me tell you, when a soul is converted to the Lord, that's a sweet event. And it's because of the teaching of God's word that people will be led to Christ. And here the Revelator says, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesied again before many people and nations and tongues and kings." Our duty is to tell the truth to others. That's what he's trying to get us to see. So we have to devour God's word in order to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 8, he says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." We must clearly understand that there is going to be a day of revealing. There is going to be a day when no secrets will be hid. Everything will come forth. We need to understand that if we're not doing what God's will is, then everybody's going to know about it sooner or later. Listen to what Matthew says here. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 28 through 30, he says, And he said unto them, "And an enemy has done this." What he's talking about is that the king planted a garden, and he sowed his garden with good seed. And yet they went to sleep. And yet the evil one, he came along and he planted tares within the garden. You know, isn't that amazing? Because there are going to be times in our lives where the word is being planted in our souls, and yet we have to be aware, because there are evil things out there that want to plant themselves into our heart as well. Hey, evil thoughts. You ever been sitting there and all of a sudden this thought came to mind and you said, "Where did that come from?" Man, this wicked one has a way of planting things in our minds that ruins the garden. But God said, he said here, watch what he says in the next verse. He says, but he said, let's go back to 28. "He said unto them, my enemies have done this." The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" But the gardener, being a wise and just king, says, but he says, "Nay, lest while gathering up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." What does he mean by that? You know, we have become professional at rooting up other folk. Y'all know, folks come in and we say things. How many times has that happened here? No, people get upset, and we probably didn't mean any harm, but yet, because of the fact we said it and that person heard it, they became angry and left. Bro, that's rooting up the wheat. People that need to be here worshiping God with us together, Somebody has come along at one point or another and said something or did something that hurt somebody's feeling. Now, let me tell you, feelings are going to be hurt when you deal with people. That's the reason why we need to devour the Word of God, simply because of the fact that we know that from the Word of God. And yet we shouldn't let anybody root us up because they said something negative about who we were or how we look or where we do, what we do in our lives. Too often, too many people have been devoured by the terrors because of what another brother or sister has said. It's just the facts. And we're not in the business of rooting up other Christians. We're in the business of helping them to grow. But that revealing day is going to come, because he goes on to say in that verse, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Next verse. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye up together first the tares, and bind them, and bundle to burn them, but gather the wheat and put them in my barn. My brothers and sisters, there's going to be a picking and choosing. There's the goats and the sheep there. No, there's going to be a separation time where your spirit will be revealed. You will have to give an account of what you have done. Jesus said in Luke 3:7, John said, it's going to be an unquenching fire. The Lord will consume every spirit that's not in compliance with his word. I don't know how you may see this, or how it may appear to you of what I'm about to say to you, but it seems to me that most people are rather love the lie than the truth. And more members of the body of Christ are more willing to compromise the truth than obey it. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? You know, I'm seeing now in our society where we make exceptions to the rules. We make exceptions. And in turn, we do things because of the fact that we think it's all right. I've known Christians to go out of town and not go to church. And I thought our Bible said that we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves coming together. Well, when you're out of town, if there's a church in the local area, why not you going? I've heard people make exceptions about what kind of music they're going to have, traditional or modern. Wait, you going to compromise God's word when God tells us to sing? See, there are so many things that are going on in the church today where people will make adjustments to the truth. It's just like the Pharisees. They took their traditions and put it alongside the Word of God. And their traditions carried as much weight as the Word of God. Whoa. We should never allow anything to come into our lives that carries as much weight as the Word of God. There is no compromising the Scriptures. There is no compromising. The Bible teaches us this. If we don't obey the word of God, then we have no hope in this world. And it's easy for us to be deceived because it all looks good. Hey, you hear me? It looks good when we have 7 or 8 folks who keep in harmony with the tune, and we just sit back and listen. That looks good when you're being entertained by a choir. No, we call them something else, song leaders. It looks good And they sound good. And it makes us feel good. If we don't know the word of God, then we will accept this as all right. We won't even realize that we're being entertained. I mean, we won't even realize it. It's just because we feel good, we don't do what thus said the Lord. We need to get away from that. We can't compromise God's word. We cannot compromise, or we can fall into that group that are deceived. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 10 again. And with all deceivable bitterness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What? You know, when I first started looking at this text years ago, I raised the question, why would God send somebody a strong delusion? Why would God make someone believe a lie? And it's simply right there in the scripture, because they didn't want to believe the truth anyway. They didn't want what the truth had to offer. Therefore, God just lets you believe what you want to believe. And go where you want to go and do what you want to do. We have no restraints when we don't abide in the word of God. Everything is all right. You worship God the way you want to worship Him. If you want pianos, if you want song groups, whatever you want to do, do it, because it makes no difference when we compromise the word of God. Well, let me assure you, that word is going to come back and devour you, because that truth is going to stay. And if you ain't living like it told you to live, instructed us, you're going to be consumed by it. One of the worst things that could ever happen to us, church, is to say that we know the truth, but yet we believe the lie. Y'all following me? Oh, yeah, the church is right. But then, if the church is so right, why aren't you living right? If the church is so right, why aren't you doing what the Bible teaches us to do in worshiping and pleasing God? Hey, let's not be these hypocrites that proclaim that we are a member of the church that is going to heaven when we're not living like the church that's going to heaven. Do you not know that you represent the church and the church should live in you? Do you not know that you are an example to the world? Do you not know that you are the mouthpiece that warns people of the coming judgment? It's coming. And yet, if we don't do our part as far as living in this world by representing Christ, then those people's blood is going to be on our hand. I think Ezekiel made that very clear. But if they turn away from their sins, boy, and if they don't heed your warning, then you're free from that. I just want us to understand today that we have a responsibility. Now, look at something here as we talk about compromising. Now, in James chapter 2, and I'm looking at verse number 7. Do they not blaspheme thy word and name by which ye are called? Now, let's give a little detail here. What James is talking about, people who are coming to church. And one man comes in and he's dressed in fine raiment. Say he has a $1,500 Pierre suit on or whatever. I don't know all them name brands, but yeah, he's dressed extremely nice. And we gravitate towards that person. What? And then here someone comes in, and he's in just regular old clothes. Maybe his suit a little wrinkled. Maybe his shoes is not shine. But yet, everybody wants to go shake the fine-dressed man's hand. Everybody wants to show how friendly they are to this fella that walks in here with this expensive suit. He's wealthy. And we love to be associated with people that got money. Just the truth, folks. But yet this fellow that walks in, we don't know who he is, but yet he may have a little odor. Oh, yeah. He may like be that man Tony escorted out a few weeks ago that was intoxicated, escorted to the back and talked to him. Y'all didn't see that, but I saw it. People will walk in off the street like that. How are we going to respect them? Well, we already want to deal with this man, but we don't want to deal with that man. Is that not showing partiality? Is that not compromising the word of God? For the Bible teaches us that we should do good to all men. We don't have a choice in this matter. Our duty is to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. But yet, we show partiality. That's compromising the truth. Well, we want you here at Northwest, but you can go wherever you want to go. You know, it's sort of like, since I sit on this side, I ain't got nothing to do with you folks on that side. Y'all ever saw those walls in church? People who don't like each other, but they come to church and one group sit on one side and the other. Let me tell you, if that exists in the Lord's body, then we are in sin. And we need to stop that. Because God is not going to tolerate it. Watch what James says here. He says in verse number 8. Watch what he says. If ye fulfill the raw law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to person, ye commit sin. Huh? Ye commit sin. And what's that word right there, church? And you are a transgressor of the law. If you don't know these things, what's going to keep you from practicing the other? That's the reason why it's so very important that we be people who enjoy studying the word and knowing the word, that we can cut out some of this mess that creeps into churches. Well, we can be people who love all people and not a select group of people. See, God is not going to tolerate our hypocrisy. He's not going to tolerate it. And people treat God's word, even in the church, like it's not inspired, that it didn't come from God. Wait, what are you saying, Brother Wynn? I'm saying that there are folks that sit among us sometimes that don't believe the truth. Or they are questioning the truth. They say things like, well, men wrote this. I was talking to one of my brothers the other day who was trying to convert a man from the nation of Islam. He would not accept what thus saith the Lord. And I'm saying to you today that there are people that sit among us that are compromised that truth. They don't believe in the one true and only church. They think there are good people in every church, and I'm not arguing that point. I'm saying that God died for one, and the one he established. And that's the one I believe in. When it said, Jesus said, I build my church, Jesus was showing ownership of the congregation of the church that he established. And the world must come into it if they expect to be saved. But yet, we got brothers believe everybody can be saved. Now, you tell me, what will you have to do with the Catholic Church? I deal with these folks on a regular basis, and it behooves me to see all the mess that has been going on for centuries. My brothers and sisters, been going on for centuries in it. They've been robbing and stealing the poor with these proxies and being baptized for the dead, all that foolishness. Nobody's hearing the word of God. Nobody's hearing the word of God. I deal with folks that think church is nothing but a social club. We do good to everybody, but yet they don't believe that we should watch how we cast our pearls. The Bible teaches us don't cast them before swine and dogs for them to trample on the foot. And too many times I've seen people willing to do that. Wait, I can't do that. And then when I take a stand, they say I'm mean. Because I won't do everything when I know a person's history and how he's abusing and misusing the Lord's will. And then come to me, you ain't no Christian. I'm not worried about what you say. I'm worried about what God says. And God tells me and teaches me I should be a responsible Christian. As Brother Hall said this morning, I need to be a good soldier and I need to take care of my business. Because God put me in charge of something. And yet, people want me to compromise what the Word of God says. Brothers and sisters, we can't do that. The Word of God is inspired. Watch what he says in 2 Timothy 3. Starting at verse number 16, he says, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instructions in righteousness. That's what it's good for. But that last verse is the one that I'm looking at, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good. That's what we should be about in the church. But we can only be about that is when we decide in our very lives that we're going to feed upon the Word of God until the Word of God eats us up. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? I am not going to stop studying. I am not going to quit, though people want to accuse me for not being a Christian because I won't do everything they want me to do. No, I'm going to stand firm on what I believe because I believe what I know and I know what I believe. And I'm not going to go to the left nor to the right. I'm standing firm on the Word of God. See, it's about us devouring the Word. If you don't devour the Word, then the Word is going to devour you. Let's go back to verse number 8 in 2 Thessalonians again and watch what the Bible says. Can we go back there, Bob? Verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. I've talked about that. I hope you got the point. Well, ain't no compromising in God's truth. Ain't no change in God's truth. There is nothing. If you are doing anything other than what the Word of God said, it's going to show. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. I believe he's talking about the Word of God. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You don't stand a chance if you don't obey the Word of God. That's the lesson here, brothers and sisters. anything other than that is totally opposing God's will, God's word. I pray that we will feed on that word and we become a light unto this dark world we're in. For let me tell you, God chose you to be his child. God chose you to carry out this mission. But if you don't know what the mission is, then how can you carry it out? If you don't know what's true and right, then you will accept almost anything. See, I've been to the congregations where they had six or seven men and women up leading singing. And it sounded good, but I knew better. I knew I couldn't accept that. And now that I'm not trying to create any sort of division. I'm just trying to get us to see that we need to stand firm on what we believe. Because if you don't believe it, then you accept it. And if you accept it, then you get into the entertainment part. And you expect to be entertained every Sunday when you come to church. And nobody can preach any hard sermons to you because all you want to do is hear these pleasing lessons that tickle the ear. I'm not in the tickle and ear business. John, we don't want any part of that. Fred, we don't want nothing to do with that. Jimmy, we don't want nothing to do with trying to please people. All we want is people to abide by God's word. And if we all abide by God's word, then there won't be this side and that side. There won't be disliking this person and that person. We'll come together as one and we'll do everything in our power to represent our Lord and Savior in the right way. We'll warn folks of the coming judgment. We will warn them. We will plead with them. We will beg them to get their lives right with God. But yet, if we don't know that, that means you ain't been studying the word of God. If you don't know why we sing, then that means you hadn't been studying the word of God. If you don't know why we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, something tell me you ain't been studying the word of God. That's what I'm trying to get you to see this evening, is that if we don't devour it and allow it to devour us, then we'll compromise the truth and we won't be set free. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to God, this is your opportunity.